You are my linter, so mistakes won't linger. Believe when I say I'm ready for Tools Day, but we are two worlds apart. Because you use tabs and I don't. It's okay, because it's time for Tools Day.
Great song. I want to clarify, I don't use tabs. That's not me.
We both use spaces here.
We both use two spaces like any sane adult.
Like any sane adult.
All right.
Except for Silicon Valley. They'll get you for that, the compression.
Those guys are wrong, and they should feel bad about themselves.
It's a great show if you don't watch it. Anyway, welcome to Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about linters and standards.
We have not been in sync
the
last...
I think we got two shows where we were pretty spot on.
Yeah, and then it all fell apart.
Standards, linters, linters, and standards. Same thing.
Okay.
all right, so what do we mean by standards and linters?
This is basically talking about code style. So how do we write our markup, our CSS, our JavaScript in a way that... You know, everyone uses the exact same number of spaces after curly brace. Everyone uses spaces, not tabs. It's basically enforcing a standard, quote unquote standard, right?
Yeah.
A way of writing anything.
Yeah, and I think that the real value out of these standards and linters and like this code assurance is making your code look like it's been written by the same person when you're writing code in a large team, right, and making it readable by anybody on that team.
Right, and this helps drastically when you onboard somebody new to your project. They don't have to kind of wade through 15 different types of writing of the same type of function or writing the same type of CSS. They just say, okay, everyone wrote their CSS this way. Now I will too, and therefore you establish a consistency across your code base.
Yeah. So linters enforce these standards.
Yep.
A lot of companies have their own standards guidelines, and then they have linters set up in their programs to run the JavaScript code or CSS code through those linters before it can get approved or submitted.
Yep.
Well, it depends on how strict it is. So you could say it's a warning, you could say it's an error.
Yeah.
It all depends on how you set it up.
Yeah, you also hear these standards called style guides, but for like the markup itself. Like you'll see a JavaScript style guide, which means JavaScript standards, but they use the word style guide for that.
I've seen a lot of style guide standards for JavaScript and like SAS, CSS. I've never seen one for HTML or markup.
Markdown.
Markdown has its own style.
Yeah.
You can't really...
You know, I don't actually remember one either for HTML.
But there is semantic HTML, like... That is a thing. Like,
there's a general understanding, yeah.
Yeah, it's just nobody has written a guide, as far as I know.
Yeah. I guess
it's because there's less opinions. There's fewer opinions like Markdown,
right,
when it comes to HTML.
Maybe it's like, you know, you make a new line after every p tag, or do you? I guess there are a fair amount of like things that people do differently in markup. So.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is, but we just.
All right, so should we talk about the different standards guides first, or should we talk about implementing linters?
Let's do the different style guides. Different style guides first.
There's a few, and I guess we'll start with JavaScript because there are more out there for JavaScript that we're aware of.
Right.
I just looked up 10 best JavaScript style guides.
Hey-yo.
So it shows that there are at least 10. Most popular ones that we know, at least, are the Airbnb JavaScript style guide.
Yep.
All of these, by the way, are on GitHub. Like, everyone puts their standards on GitHub. And then there's idiomatic JS. There's the jQuery core style guidelines. I don't know about those.
And then there's Google style guide.
Standard JS.
Standard JS is kind of the big new hotness. The concept of standard JS is that instead of, you know, everyone making their own kind of extension over ESLint or something like that, everyone just uses this one standard. It's supported by Brendan Eich, Tim Early. Brendan Eich is the creator of JavaScript. Tim Early created HTTP. And it is very, very opinionated, as I guess all style guides are. And a little bit controversial.
So this isn't just a style guide. This is a ESLint RC, JS Hint RC, or JSC SRC file.
Yeah.
That determines the style guide rules for you.
Yes.
It's something that you read through. There's obviously documentation, but it just says this is right and wrong. Here's the file that will make sure all your code is to standard.
Right. One thing I know it does that I personally hate is that it drops semicolons from the style guide.
That
don't use semicolons.
I do like semicolons.
I love semicolons. Grammar is so important to me. I'm kind of a grammar fiend in English, and I'm a grammar fiend in JavaScript. I love my curly braces. I love my semicolons.
But they are two space people.
They are two space people.
They also, they say that, like, the no unused variables catches the most bugs.
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm sure that once you start refactoring your code, you end up with these variables that you had at one point.
That do nothing. Bug. You're like, wait, yeah. Why?
Space after keywords if condition space curly brackets, then your code. So the space after the function name, that's interesting. Always use triple equals instead of double equals. That's pretty common. I think the spaces here are interesting because I don't have spaces after my function arguments and the first semicolon.
I do.
I mean, not the first semicolon, the first curly brace.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm making these shapes in the air.
I'm like, let me interpret these symbols. To be honest, so we at work, we use the Airbnb style guide, which actually
has the same thing.
Very similar to the standard style guide. Off the top of my head, I don't know the differences, but yeah, it does kind of the same thing where it enforces
semicolons. Airbnb has semicolons.
Yeah, Airbnb has semicolons. There is a modification to the standard style guide, which also has semicolons, because there are enough of us out there who are like, hey, no, we actually love and need semicolons to make JavaScript work for us. But both the Airbnb and standard style guide are built off this thing called ESLint.
Right, but they also have JS hint support and JSC support.
JSC.
I don't know. It just said JSC SRC file. I've used JS hint and ESLint, and I don't really know what the difference is between them.
Yeah.
Because in my use case, it's been pretty similar.
Yeah.
I've used them either in my Sublime text editor, where it was a sidebar,
right,
like warning, etc.
Yeah.
Or through the command line
right.
via gulp, where it was a gulp plugin that showed you in your terminal before you were allowed to submit your code if you had any errors.
Yeah, so they're pretty close, similar, but what JS Hint does is it detects errors in your code, right? So if you forgot a semicolon and you needed one, right? Because there are some scenarios where you need one. If you forgot a curly brace, if you used let or const incorrectly, that kind of wrong JavaScript in your code is what JS Hint catches.
But isn't that the idea of standards? It is wrong if it is not too standard.
Kind of. That's the first part of it. What ESLint does that as well, does that, and as well it says you also need to have two spaces. You also need to have a space after the curly brace. You also need to have these style things that aren't actually, they won't throw errors in JavaScript, but are wrong towards your team style.
So why does standard JS, as an example, just because we were talking about it first,
yeah,
have both an ESLint RC and a JSHint RC file that you can use? There's two different uses.
I believe it's just to allow people who use JSHint and not ESLint to still use some of it, but I actually don't know.
There's people typically use both? I mean, I feel like I just hear them very interchangeably.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. There's an issue that someone filed for it. And so, hey, can we use standard style with JS Hint? And apparently that there is a JS Hint file. It's from the very early versions, but it doesn't check for everything that standard checks for. So it's kind of a half-baked version of standard JS.
Okay.
So basically, at this point in your JavaScript linting / standards enforcing, most people have migrated off JSHint over to ESLint.
Is ESLint newer, or is it just more supported
ESLint is
now?
Newer.
Okay.
So JSHint was the initial one. It was built off JSLint, which was built by Douglas Crockford. And Douglas Crockford was the guy who wrote JavaScript, The Good Parts. And so a lot of us learned JavaScript from his book way back when. And then migrated off from that. So it was kind of a great first tool. ESLint was the next step of saying, okay, not only should it be technically right, it should also be aesthetically right as well. So that's the big difference there.
So I don't really know the difference.
Okay.
ESLint.
Just use ESLint. And if you care about spaces after a curly brace or before it, ESLint checks for that. JSHint does not.
Okay, so even though it says the standard JS is available with JS Hint, it's not the full.
It's not the full standard JS. All
right, cool. Yeah. So, is there any other JavaScript style guide that we want to talk about? There's Google style guide.
There's Google one. You know, a lot of the various
Idiomatic JS.
Oh.
This reads like a book. I don't know if it is a book or its own style guide. Yeah. It does have tools. Like, it does also have the JSHand, ESLint files. It has, like, JS Code Sniffer editor config files as well. Editor config is a big one.
Yes.
That's really important when you have coworkers who don't use the same style as you do. As an example, tabs versus spaces.
Yeah,
they can do whatever they want, but what it looks like to your screen and to your eyes is right. The spaces if they use tabs as an example.
Right. And that, of course, depends on your editor respecting editor config.
Yeah. So Sublime is good at that. Atom is good at that.
VS Code also.
You have to install a package for Sublime, I believe.
Same with VS Code.
Yeah, VS Code. Yeah, VS Code. I keep hearing more and more about it.
I'm back on VS Code. I swap back.
Nice. Visual Studio Code.
Yeah, sorry. Visual Studio Code. It's great. I've said great things about it multiple times, and yeah. I swap back to Atom. Let's move on.
All right. Good. We'll have to get like a full review from you at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's this JS Perf thing. What is this? Oh, it checks your browser before accessing JS Perf.
That's Cloudflare.
Oh, okay. I don't know what this... Okay, just ignore me. I don't know what that was. I'm just looking at links from Idiomatic.js right now.
Yeah. Yeah, so I personally am I'm mostly most versed with the Airbnb. Airbnb and standards have kind of their own little shots fired at each other every now and then. Every now and then I'll see a tweet from Feroz, F-E-R-O-S-S. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that stands for something, not... just Feroz, but between him and the guy who made the ESLint or the Airbnb one, like, oh, look, we're more popular now. And then they just, it's a good time.
Feroz is actually a person.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's his real name.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't say that.
Well, no, it sounds like it could be his name because OSS is open source software.
Right.
But yeah, so I kind of want to talk about SAS. Standards.
So, okay, so I know nothing about SAS linters.
Well,
actually.
Okay, so SAS linters, there is SASLint.
Okay, which is Ruby based, yeah?
No, well, no. It was Ruby based, but there's a new one, which is SASLint. So I think there's one that has like a space between it, one that has like a, you know, the dash, a dash between
okay,
it.
Okay, great. You know, I was making these hand signals again, yeah. And I was like,
there's
you
an
spent
SCSS
too much time
Lint,
in Europe and maybe this hand
and
symbol
a SAS
thing.
Lint, and the SCSS Lint, I think, is Ruby-based. SAS Lint is new.
Yeah.
SAS Lint does either SCSS or SAS, but it's node-based, so you can apply it in your Gulp stack or whatever tasks you have. You can just run it as a script directly inside of your package JSON. But it reads through your SAS files. It also has a configuration file, and it just makes sure that your SAS is in the way that you want. So things like no nesting more than 3 levels. There's things like, also I think it looks for variables that are unused. It looks for color naming. Like for us where I work now, we don't use hex codes. We only, like we'll always set a variable to use a hex code. So we make sure that we're not using too many colors that are just floating hex codes. Magic numbers it can look for. Like, what does this 42 pixels mean? Like why aren't you using a variable
That's
here?
Just the answer to the life.
Yeah. There's
the universe and everything.
there's a, exactly.
Hey yo.
That's why I always use 42 as my example. I don't need this anymore. But it does a lot of cool things for you. I like to use it in Gulp because then you can make sure the whole team is on the same page.
Yeah.
You can also install it as a sidebar. One of the Sublime Linter Contrib SCSS Lint. Plug-in for Sublime Contrib, like Lint, whatever that Linter is.
I thought you had to install the Linter, Sublime
yes.
Linter.
It's the Sublime Linter, and okay. Then the Sublime Contrib, so like...
Oh yeah, okay, got
and
it.
And that's
yeah.
What all the packages are for the Linter. So right. You're installing a JS Linter, React Linter, CSS
right.
Linter.
Yeah.
It's all like that. But I also want to talk about the site called SAS Guidelines, which I think is a really, really awesome tool if you are trying to figure out how to best write your SAS.
Okay.
It's made by Hugo Girardel.
I've never seen this before.
It's really cool. So it goes through everything. Commenting, architecture, naming conventions, extends, mixins. It's very opinionated.
Which I love.
But it is a good guideline. And you can switch it from SAS to SCSS, which I think is a really cool feature. Here there's like little settings, and it gives you all the examples, all the code block examples.
Do people still use SAS versus SCSS?
I don't know that many people that use SAS.
I know when I first came out, people were like, yeah, use this great curly braceless syntax.
Yeah,
and
so
then,
we're talking about SASS. People use SAS in general.
Yeah,
stuff.
Sorry.
So SAS came before the SCSS syntax, and the SASS syntax, it looks a lot like Ruby. And that's why it doesn't have the curly braces.
Right.
There's no semicolons. It really matches the Ruby syntax. But then they created SCSS that you can write your styles in the same format as CSS.
Right.
And that's when they introduced the curly braces, semicolons. I think that's a lot more friendly for people who are diving into SAS.
Slight sidebar. Is Node SAS now one-to-one with Ruby SAS?
I believe so. And definitely in any use case that any normal person is going to be using. I think it's totally one-to-one as of the end of last year, and they're working on new import statements.
Ooh.
And capabilities now. So, like, import once, something that people really wanted.
Yeah.
That was available in Compass with Ruby, but not available in Node SAS.
Right.
So that's something that they're working on getting into, like, the core functionality of SAS, which is hopefully going to be up this year. Like, the next version of SAS may be coming.
Ooh.
And it's going to be the biggest update to SAS in, like, 10 years or something.
Has SAS been even around for 10 years?
Yeah, SAS has been around since 2007, I want to say. So 9 years.
Aha! Got him.
I don't know. It might have been 2004. There's some number. SAS has... I'll look this up later. I'm one of those people who has to know. So yeah, just like JavaScript,
yeah,
you can lint all of your SAS, and there are standards that people have written.
Have you ever used CSS Comb before?
Yes.
Do you like it? So what is CSS Comb? Define CSS Comb for us first.
So CSS Comb is basically a plugin that you can... I use it in Sublime Text. You can highlight all of your code and then say comb it, and it will... it will lay it out for you neatly. Like
it, reorder it.
Yeah, not just reorder, but it prettifies it.
Oh, yeah.
So it makes it apply the standards to your code.
Yeah.
That includes spacing and like variable property order. It's mostly for property order and spacing. So I did use it, and I worked on it, actually, because there was no SAS comb.
Oh.
And so I was like frustrated by this, and I contributed to like some of the first... SCSS comb, like, PRs to try to get it fixed. So that was a while ago. That was a year ago. But I don't know. I haven't really used it since.
Oh. Yeah. That's one of those things that I always want to implement in my libraries, just because it does make all your CSS look the exact same.
It's magical.
It's magical because it's an automatic fix. You don't have to do anything. You just run it on save or on commit, and then it just reorders all your CSS for you. And that one really, really enforces the correct or the same standard style. But when I was last using it, I could never get it to work for SAS.
Well, the reason why is because the ampersand.
Right.
Yeah. And they didn't really know how to deal with the ampersand. And I think it's still an ongoing process right now to try to get the SCSS lint to work.
Yeah.
Because the rules just completely change from CSS to SAS.
Right.
And that's why it's really hard to do.
I wonder if it works for post-CSS.
It probably does. If I think about it, I don't see why it wouldn't. Because in PostCSS, you're creating your own rules in Node.
Right.
And then you're just applying those rules to a regular CSS sheet.
Right. Yeah.
So it should work.
Okay.
PostCSS also thinks.
I've actually been tooling around with PostCSS recently.
There are so many pros and cons. And I think the cons still outweigh the pros, especially for a team.
Yeah.
Especially for people who are... and newer to CSS.
Oh, yeah. I would not implement post-CSS on a project right now, but
on my personal ones, they can't use it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's fun to play around. It's fun to make properties.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a post-CSS plugin that I started to build, then I found out that it was in existence, so I stopped building it.
This is the gray one?
No, I built that one.
Oh.
But this one is...
You know, for context, built a post-CSS plugin that...
It was literally like one line of code.
One line of code, but it was like if... Because the word gray is spelled differently in the British English.
G-R-A-Y versus
and the American English. Right, yeah. So I spell it with the E-Y. And
I spell it with the E-Y too. And that's not how you spell it.
In America.
Yeah. And in CSS, like grayscale.
Right, yeah.
That will break. If you write grayscale with an E, like if you're using a filter, it will break. I forgot what I was saying.
You were almost writing a plugin, and then it
So there's a filter plugin for like the Instagram like filters that you can just say like Instafilter or whatever, and it gives you the options list, so you can say like Aiden instead of including it or extending it, which I think is cool. But you know, it's a thing that you have to understand what is a real property and what isn't.
Right.
Which SAS only uses legit CSS properties in its buildingness. Okay, so we kind of went over a bunch of things.
Yeah, and we are actually coming up right on time as well.
Maybe we should just do a brief overview of how to set up linters.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so this is basically deterministic on your editor.
Not true, because you can do it in the CLI, and you can also do it through testing.
You're right. So let's back up. There's a couple of different ways of doing it. One, you can implement it into your build system. So if you use Gulp or really any build system that's node-based can do it. I'm not sure about Ruby-based or any other other base, but...
Yeah, you can definitely do it with Rails.
Actually, going back, because there's a CLI for all these linters, right. And so you can run it on any build system.
And, aside from all that, you can just run it as a task. Like, you can write it as an NPM run test and put in your test scripts.
Yeah, through the CLI.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're doing a build system, then you could put that test script as a part of your deploy or et cetera, like deploy to staging. Like, you can get all your information that way as well. Just an option as like a secondary check. I think you should check before then as well.
We use Travis to deploy our design guide.
And does Travis run test scripts?
Any of the Travis or Jenkins, you can say run this set of commands. And so one of our commands is lint. We don't fail on linting errors, but we kind of warn it saying, hey, you messed up somewhere. I know some people actually fail their entire deploy if linting fails.
But it doesn't even have to be a deploy. This could be in a pull request as well.
You
could have like Travis run whenever you spend a pull request, and then that way you can see if it failed the test just when you're trying to merge the code at that point.
Yeah.
Because that's when you really should be checking. Right, before then or at the PR point.
Yeah. So that's kind of the very, very base level. Maybe the high level. Depending on how you look at it, I guess.
Yeah. Or I think the easiest way, though, is to just implement it in your text editor.
Right. So the easiest way, and I think the most applicable way for most people, is to get on-the-fly linting and do this by adding it to your text editor of choice. We currently just talked about VS Code, Sublime, and Atom. Eclipse may have it. I don't know.
I don't see why not. I just don't have any experience with Eclipse.
I tend not to use IDEs ever, so... I don't know, but for Atom, linting is baked in automatically, but you'll need to install a plugin called ESLint, more or less, for ESLint. And once that toggles on, it's activated. To configure ESLint, you do have to do a couple things. You either have a .eslintrc file in your root directory, and then the plugin will look for that, and then... based on that configuration, it will apply those to any JavaScript files in your project. Or you can add this ESLint config to your package JSON as just a key key value pair. And this is kind of what I do now to kind of remove that extra files in my project. But either or, and the ESLint plugin in Atom will pick it up. It's the same for Sublime with the Sublime linter plus.
Right. The package you can look it up online. Yeah. There's some weird name to it, which is why I brought that up.
And the same for VS Code, where you just install the plugin and you're good to go.
Yeah. In Sublime, I would say you have to make sure that the file is the correct file type.
Yes.
In like the bottom right hand corner, just double check that, because sometimes it messes up or it thinks it's like a different thing. Like if it's JavaScript, it might think it's just like text markup until you change it. You can You could set it. It's like Command Shift P set as HTML, as CSS, as JS. So if you're having issues with your linter and you're wondering why, just double check that.
Yeah. One thing also with Sublime is that you need to have your node path set correctly, and need to make sure that ESLint is installed on your system as well.
Yes. It's a bit more complicated than I'm sure Atom is.
Yeah.
But it's like you do it once.
Yeah. VS Code has come in the most, I think it's actually the most complicated, because it has this thing where it will rely on, if it relies on global sometimes instead of the local one. And so there's a kind of a bug that they're working out right now, or they have worked out, but sometimes it kicks back in where it'll accidentally use the wrong package. So that was kind of an issue I ran into a little bit, but still pretty good. So
yeah, I don't know. I haven't used it yet. Maybe I should give it a spin. Other than that little disclaimer.
Yeah. For SAS linting, I'm not sure off the top of my head.
It's the same I'm sure, because it's been the exact same process in Sublime.
Yeah.
Same process in the CLI. Same process through testing.
Yeah.
So it's pretty similar. I feel like SAS linting and JS linting are, in process wise, pretty closely related.
Yeah.
Because you'll probably want to check both.
Yeah.
All right. We're over time, as always. But thank you for listening. Hope you learned something new or you, like, reaffirmed your decisions.
Two spaces, not tabs, always and forever.
Yeah, it's a requirement for our listeners.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. If you enjoyed the show, please rate us or leave us a review on iTunes. The link is on our website. The link is probably right below wherever you're listening to this. So, yeah, that'd be great. We love reviews. That's how people hear the show. So please, please, please leave those. Yeah. Thank you.